The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Vivek Ramaswamy is dominating right now. Democrats are hyper-focused on a few key races going into the midterms. Obviously, they've got the Senate seats in the swing states. They've obviously got the gerrymandering battle that's going on in California and Texas. However, they are also targeting key governor seats, and one of those is in Ohio. The only problem is that Vivek Ramaswamy is running there, and he has basically already won the battle at this point. If you look at the most recent polling out of Ohio, Democrats have not gone with one person yet, but they're kind of down to their top two, Tim Ryan and Amy Acton. And what you see is that Vivek Ramaswamy is beating Tim Ryan right now in the most recent poll by 8%, and he's beating Amy Acton by 10%. And again, the election isn't for 15 more months, so Vivek has a lot more time to campaign and get those numbers up, which he probably will. That is one of the benefits, by the way, of announcing early. I think Republicans should do this a lot more, is that you have a ton of time to campaign. You can remember back in 2022, right after the midterms, Donald Trump announced that he was running for president in 2024. And so he had essentially 2 years to run for president. And we all know how that turned out for him. Went really well. If you look at the last election in Ohio, it shows how uphill of a battle it would be for Democrats even against some sort of like mediocre candidate. You know, I think Alex DeWine he's the current governor who's up. He's done. And, you know, I think he's kind of mediocre. What you see right here is that he won by 25% against Whaley. I don't know who Whaley is. Maybe not a great, you know, Democrat in the first place. Maybe we'll have a more formidable Democrat. But in any case, 25% up. And I think Vivek Ramaswamy, with all the time he has to campaign, is going to be way above that. If you look, this was in 2024, the presidential results, you can see that Donald Trump won by 12%. You'll also remember that there were polls coming out saying that Kamala Harris was going to win in Ohio. So I think the 8%, 10% lead that Vivek Ramaswamy has in that poll that I showed you is probably really modest, but frankly, 8 to 10% is still fantastic when you're 15 months out. I think Vivek is going to outperform those numbers anyway. Just to show you, though, how great of a leader Vivek has been, what's pulling Ohioans in for him. This is a tweet that he put out just this past week about crime in Ohio, because obviously crime's in the news a lot since Donald Trump has been in D.C. cleaning it up. Here's what he tweeted out. He said, "We're a state of great cities. It's one of Ohio's greatest strengths. Dayton, Toledo, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Youngstown, Akron. Everyone blames someone else for rising violent crime. State versus local, mayors versus judges, etc. But once I'm governor, the buck stops with me." And I love that. And I think this is resonating with a lot of people, not just in Ohio, but in America in general. That is leadership, because it is bold and it speaks to people. He is essentially taking full responsibility over an issue that he knows is really important to his constituents. That is not something that politicians do very often, because it comes with its risks, because he's making a promise, and if he can't come through with it, he's not going to win re-election. However, he trusts himself to actually get it done. Again, it's something I really like about Vivek. I'm excited to see what he does with crime specifically in Ohio. There is a certain faction. This is kind of the opposition, you could say. And I don't think it's a left opposition. I think there's zero left opposition to Vivek in Ohio. I don't think there's anything they can do. However, there is a certain faction of the right that does not like Vivek Ramaswamy. You'll remember there was a group that did not like what he said on X about the H-1B visas. Just as a refresher, basically what Vivek said was that it was good to import talent to the U.S. because American workers right now, frankly, aren't as skilled. Just by the numbers, that's just a fact. And this made people go off on this kind of hysteria of, oh, Vivek Ramaswamy's a foreigner, he wants to bring in more immigrants. I think that's a stupid argument, frankly. I think what Vivek said was maybe not worded correctly, but the essence of what he said was just statistically true. Vivek is, you know, he is racially Indian, but he's never lived a day in his life in India. He speaks perfect English, it's his first language. He loves America. So they're kind of trying to paint him like maybe some leftists that are from like Somalia. Like, you know, you've got Zahran Mamdani from Nigeria, and you've got Omar Fateh in Minneapolis from Somalia, who are trying to bring in more Somalians. They're trying to paint him like that. It's just not true. I mean, it just couldn't be further from the truth. I think it's a stupid argument. I'm certainly weary of people who don't speak English. I think that's fine. You know, I like people, you know, of all areas and all people, and that's fine. But at the same time, like, should we be bringing in people who don't speak English or hate America? Obviously not. Obviously not. However, Vivek could not be further from that. That's not the same camp. And I think his criticism of American workers and students, frankly, is valid because the data is there and it shows it. If you look at the data right now, China is producing talent that beats American talent every single time. That's a real problem. And so I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to go to our friendlier, now I'm not talking about China, but our friendlier allies and bring in some talented people from there that love America and then learn from them. I think that's a very smart thing. I don't think Vivek is just an Indian spy trying to implant immigrants as some on the far right would have you think. That's more Ilhan Omar, Zahran Mamdani, Omar Fateh, like I mentioned. And if you can't see that difference, I just don't know what to tell you. Like, it's clear as day to me. So luckily that faction of the right won't make a big enough difference in Ohio, I don't think. But that will be where the big opposition is. I don't think it will be coming from the left because I don't think they have any power in Ohio right now. Most people see Vivek for what he is. He is an American first patriot. And that was very clear from when he ran back in 2024. I'm really glad he's running for Ohio governor. I think even though he had a pretty decent campaign for president, I think he needs more time to build up that trust in MAGA. I think going for president was a little crazy, especially against Donald Trump. So I'm excited for him to be in Ohio. Obviously, he's going to win, and then we could see a more promising run for president in maybe a decade or two. The progressive left is a cult, guys. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out. Right now, it's on Amazon. I talk about a lot of things I can't talk about on YouTube. Some crazy stories, some crazy things the left is doing that most people are not talking about. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. It is incredible to see how the culture is shifting since Trump has taken office. Millie Bobby Brown, guys, the lead from Stranger Things, if you haven't seen it, she has announced that she has adopted a daughter. She's only 21. Her husband is 23. Presumably, she's still liberal. I'm not assuming that she's a conservative in this, like in terms of her voting. I'm not saying she's a Republican since she's in Hollywood. But that does not mean that the overall culture in America is not changing. And I think we should celebrate that. I just don't think that you would have seen Hollywood actresses doing this during Joe Biden or Barack Obama. She got married back in May of 2024. She was only 20. And now her and her husband are adopting. And I just don't think it gets more traditional or conservative than that. I mean, when I look at conservatism, that's it right there. Adopting someone when you're 21 and starting a family young. I feel a certain kinship to her. I'm just 24 right now. I had my first daughter when I was 23, so the same age as her husband. That was just a few months ago. And it's awesome. It's conservative. It's great. It's good for society. It's good for them as a couple. So here's what she said in her announcement officially. This is on Instagram. And by the way, this is the only information that we have. And that's a good thing, as I'll talk about in a second. She said, this summer, it's not even a picture of the baby, by the way. It just says, this summer, we welcomed our sweet baby girl through adoption. We're beyond excited to embark on this beautiful next chapter of parenthood in both peace and privacy. Great. And then there were three. And that's what she said. And she doesn't say the name of her baby. No picture, no bragging, just kind of quietly announcing that they have a daughter now, which is very, very different from what other Hollywood actresses have done in the past. Even the ones who have had kids young, they'll wait till, most people in Hollywood and really in America in general are waiting until their 30s. Then they have a baby and then it's nonstop posts about it. It's posts about it. And for the average person, there's no problem with that, really. If you want to post about your baby, that's fine. But I'm surprised by the maturity of Millie Bobby Brown at only 21 being able to know, hey, I'm just not going to even put the name of this baby out. I'm not putting the picture out. And she says at the end of that post, I'm going to keep this private. I just think that's very mature. I mean, she's only 21 years old and she's played it perfectly. Because again, already she has made much better decisions than, again, I think someone would have if they were in their late 30s, like most people are when they're having babies nowadays. In an interview with ABC a few months ago, this is what she said. And this, I think, really shows the cultural shift in Hollywood, hopefully at large, but at least what she's doing. She said, quote, my mom actually had her first child at 21. My dad was 19. And you know, it's been a thing since before I met Jake. She said, since I was a baby, I told my mom, like, baby, I like baby dolls. I wanted to be a mom just like the way my mom was to me. And then she said, I don't see having your own child, you know, as really any different as in adopting. For me, like my home is, she says a lot of likes in here. For me, like, my home is a full of love for anyone and anything. And so that this is what we stand by. And Jake and I, our energy in the house is like, the door is always open. Sorry for the candid way she speaks. It shocked me. I mean, I think that's a shocking thing to read because it sounds like this is an America first, you know, Texas living person who's never been in Hollywood. That's what it sounds like to me. I think it shocked me. But instead of listening to the wokeness in the Hollywood, she actually listened to her natural inclination to be a mother, something that feminism cannot allow, something that Hollywood cannot allow. And her husband seems to have done the same, but as a father, which is awesome as well. So I just think that's incredibly brave in her career, in her industry. I actually do think that is bravery. I don't think there's anything easy about having a child. I think adopting a child at 21 in any career, in any place, is a, you know, a step into the dark. It's an act of faith, and that's what she's done it in, I think, the, you know, the hardest place to do it. And again, why am I talking about this on my show, right? We talk about politics on this show. And the reason why is because politics is downstream of culture. That's what Andrew Breitbart said. I think it's absolutely true. There is nothing more conservative than having a family young. Both the feminist and the red pill movement, which is like the exact same in my mind, they're really the same. They lie to men and women and they tell them to wait to start a family. If they do it at all, they say probably don't. But if you're going to do it, and the reason why most people do it is they realize, crap, I should have done it. And then they do it in their late 30s. And that's why most people struggle with dating. It's frankly why people are very lonely today by the data. And they're not happy. And it's because they've bought into this new philosophy that not only kills individual worth, but it also kills societal well-being. That's why we see all the problems, the single motherhood in the Black community, for example. They're buying into these ideologies. Just today, for example, this is amazing news as well. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift announced that they are engaged, which is crazy, even though I don't like either of them at all. Like I make fun of Travis Kelce all the time, think Taylor Swift is super overrated. It's really good news. Making marriage and having kids the norm is the quintessential thing that will save our country. I truly believe that. And so when Millie Bobby Brown and Taylor Swift are doing that, you're in a good spot. That just would not have happened under Joe Biden. Clearly, there's a cultural shift. I was on a show maybe a year ago, and they asked me, how do we help people, especially younger people, since I'm a younger person, how do we help them become more conservative? How do we convince them that conservatism is the right way? And my answer was this: we need to help people feel excited about getting married and having kids, period. For any age. Obviously, I think it's best young, but if you're not young anymore and that ship has sailed, still, it's a good thing. If people get married and have kids, they turn conservative. It's that simple. That's what the data shows. By the way, take the politics out of it for a second. If you look at women, the happiest people in America are women that are married and have kids. So just for on an individual level, if we want people to be more happy because we love them and we just want, just, you know, I don't know. I have this thing in me. I want people to be happy. That's how we do it. On the other side, the most unhappy by the stats group of people in the U.S. are women who are not married and don't have kids. So the data is very simple. It's very, and the data is simple as well, by the way, that men who have kids and are married are happier than those who don't have kids and aren't married. TikTok and Instagram have done a really great job convincing people that marriage and kids suck. It's really popular. There's a lot of reels. But at the end of the day, I think it's the single greatest damning thing that social media has done to my generation is that lie. Because it is a lie. Most people need to be like Millie Bobby Brown. They need to be more like her, and less people need to be like Andrew Tate. It's that simple. Hey guys, I love interacting directly with you. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack, if you didn't hear, is a weekly newsletter. It comes right to your email. It's completely free. And I actually talk about things that I don't talk about on YouTube because I can't talk about everything because big tech censors me from time to time. But you can go get all of that on Substack right now. You can subscribe down below completely free. Again, the link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching this episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.